Hi everyone, welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a podcast from Israel. This is Johanna, I'm your reader today. Today is Friday, the 14th of September, and it's the 5th of Tishrei on the Hebrew calendar. And since it is Friday, once again, we'll be doing our end of the week double episode. I'll be reading for today and for tomorrow as well in this episode. And this week, we are in a Torah portion called Vayelech, meaning, and he went. And today's passage from the Torah will be Deuteronomy 31, 10 through 13. And before we begin to read, let's bless God and thank him for giving us his word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the set time of the year of canceling debts, during the Feast of Sukkot, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place he chooses, you are to read this Torah before them in their hearing. Gather the people, the men and women and little ones, and the outsider within your gates, so they may hear and so they may learn, and they will fear the Lord your God and take care to do all the words of this Torah. So their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Lord your God all the days you live on the land you are about to cross over the Jordan to possess. That was Deuteronomy 31, 10 through 13. And today I'll be reading from the prophets, Zechariah 3 and 4. Then he showed me Joshua, the Kohen Gadol, standing before the angel of the Lord, and the Satan, standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to the Satan, the Lord rebukes you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. Is not this man a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was wearing filthy garments and standing before the angel, who answered and spoke to those standing before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. Then to Joshua he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and will dress you with fine clothing. Then I said, place a clean turban on his head. So they put a pure turban on his head and clothed him with garments, while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord exhorted Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord Tzvaot, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you will judge my house and watch over my courts, and I will give you a place to walk among these standing here. Listen well, Joshua, Kohen Gadol, both you and your companions seated before you, because they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone I have laid before Joshua is one stone with seven facets. On it I will engrave an inscription, declares the Lord Tzvaot, that I will remove the iniquity of this land in one day. In that day, declares the Lord Tzvaot, every man will invite his neighbor to sit under the vine and under the fig tree. Then the angel who had been speaking with me returned and woke me, like a man who is wakened from his sleep. He asked me, what do you see? I replied, behold, I see a solid gold menorah with its bowl at the top of it, and its seven lamps on it, with seven pipes for the lamps that are on the top of it. Also, two olive trees are by it, one on the right side of the bowl, and the other on the left side of it. Then I responded by saying to the angel speaking with me, what are these, my Lord? The angel who spoke with me responded by asking me, you do not know what these are? I replied, no, my Lord. Then he responded to me by saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Ruach, says the Lord Tzva'ot. What are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. He will bring out the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands will also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord Tzva'ot sent me to you. For who despises the day of small things? These seven, which are the eyes of the Lord that run back and forth throughout the whole earth, will rejoice when they see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Then I responded by asking him, what are these two olive trees on the right and on the left of the menorah? Again I asked him, what are these two olive branches beside the two golden pipes that empty the golden oil out of them? He said to me, you do not know what these are. I said, no, my Lord. So he said, these are the two anointed ones who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. That was Zechariah 3 and 4. Today our portion from the writings is 2 Chronicles 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Yerusha, the daughter of Tzadok. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done. But unlike his father, he did not enter into the temple of the Lord. The people, however, acted corruptly. He rebuilt the upper gate of the house of the Lord and did extensive building on the wall of Ophel. He also built towns in the Judean hills and forts and towers in the forests. Jotham also fought the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. That year the Ammonites paid him 100 talents of silver, 10,000 measures of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. The Ammonites brought him the same amount also in the second and third years. Jotham became powerful because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Ahaz, his son, became king in his place. That was 2 Chronicles 27. The final portion for today is Revelation chapter 11. Then a measuring rod like a staff was given to me, saying, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar, and count those worshipping in it. But do not measure the court outside the temple. Leave it out, because it has been given to the nations, and they shall trample the holy city for 42 months. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, dressed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two menorot that are standing before the Lord of the earth. If anyone wishes to harm them, fire comes out of their mouths and consumes their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. These two have the power to shut the heavens, so that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood, and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they wish. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that rises from the abyss will make war on them, and overcome them, and kill them. And their corpses will lie in the open street of the great city that figuratively is called Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Some of the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their corpses for 3.5 days, not allowing them to be placed into a grave. Those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. They will celebrate and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell on those who were watching them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went to heaven in a cloud while their enemies watched them. At that hour there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. The third woe is coming soon. Then the seventh angel trumpeted, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his anointed one, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We thank you, Lord God Tzva'ot, who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations were enraged, but your wrath has come, and the time for the dead to be judged, to reward your servants, the prophets and Kedoshim, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy the destroyers of the earth." Then the temple of God in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning, and rumblings, and clashes of thunder, and an earthquake, and heavy hail. That was Revelation 11, and it is the end of our readings for today. And so, now we'll be turning to our readings for this Shabbat. It is a special Shabbat this week, and it's called Shabbat Shuvah. The Sabbath of Return is what that means. It is the 36th of the 40 days of repentance. And Shabbat Shuvah is the Sabbath that occurs during the 10 days of awe, of trembling and repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The name Shabbat Shuvah comes from the first word of the prophetic portion that is read during this Shabbat. It's from Hosea 14, and it says, "Return, Shuvah, O Israel, to the Lord your God." Shuvah means return or repent. And so it is this coming up week on Tuesday night that Yom Kippur Eve, the day of Yom Kippur, begins, and it stretches throughout Wednesday until sunset on Wednesday night. So this Shabbat before Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is called Shabbat Shuvah. And we're still in the Torah portion, Vayelech, meaning "and he went." And the portion that I'll be reading is Deuteronomy 31, 14 through 30. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, your time to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting, and I will commission him." Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. The Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the opening of the tent. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers. Then this people will rise up and prostitute themselves with the foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will abandon me and break my covenant that I cut with them. Then my anger will flare against them on that day, and I will abandon them and hide my face from them. So they will be devoured, and many evils and troubles will come on them. They will say on that day, 'Isn't it because our God is not among us that these evils have come on us?' I will surely hide my face on that day because of all the evil they have done, for they have turned to other gods." Now write this song for yourselves and teach it to Bnei Israel. Put it in their mouth, so that this song may be a witness for me against Bnei Israel. For when I bring them to the land flowing with milk and honey that I swore to their fathers, and they eat and are satisfied and grow fat, then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will spurn me and break my covenant. Now when many evils and troubles have come on them, this song will confront them as a witness, for it will not be forgotten from the mouth of their descendants. For I know the intention they are devising this day, even before I bring them into the land that I swore. That day Moses wrote the song and taught it to Bnei Israel. Then he commissioned Joshua son of Nun and said, Chazak, be courageous, for you will bring Bnei Israel into the land I swore to them, and I will be with you. Now when Moses had finished writing the words of this Torah on a scroll, right to the end, Moses commanded the Levites, carriers of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this scroll of the Torah, and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. It will remain there as a witness against you, for I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. Indeed, while I am still alive with you today, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more then after my death? Gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your officials, so that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will certainly act corruptly and turn aside from the way I have commanded you. So evil will fall upon you in the latter days, because you will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger by the work of your hands. Moses spoke in the hearing of the whole community of Israel the words of this song right to the end. That was Deuteronomy 31:14-30. And the Haftarah for this Shabbat is Hosea 14:1-9, or 2-10, according to the Hebrew verse counting. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled in your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, Take away all iniquity and accept what is good, so we may repay with offerings of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will never again say, Our God, to the work of our hands, for with you orphans find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger will turn away from him. I will be like dew for Israel. He will blossom like a lily and thrust out his roots like Lebanon. His tender shoots will spread out. His beauty will be like an olive tree, and his fragrance will be like Lebanon. Those dwelling in his shadow will return. They will grow grain and bud like a vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more are idols to me? I have responded and observed him. I will be like a luxuriant cypress tree. From me will be found your fruit. Who is wise? Let him discern these things. Who is intelligent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are straight, and the just walk in them, but the wicked stumble in them. And we have another portion, and it's Micah 7:18-20. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, overlooking transgression, for the remnant of his heritage? He will not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will extend truth to Jacob, mercy to Abraham, that you swore to our ancestors from the days of old. And finally, the last part of the Haftarah is Joel 2:15-27. Blow the shofar in Zion, sanctify a fast, proclaim an assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even those nursing at breasts. Let the bridegroom come out from his bedroom and the bride from her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the Kohanim, ministers of the Lord, weep, and let them say, "Have pity, Lord, on your people. Don't make your heritage a scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should the people say, 'Where is their God?' The Lord will be zealous for his land and have compassion on his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, 'Behold, I will send you the grain, the new wine, and the fresh oil, and you will be satisfied with it. I will no longer make you a mockery among the nations, but I will remove the northern invader far from you. Yes, I will banish him to a dry and desolate land, his vanguard into the eastern sea, and his rear guard into the western sea. His odor will go up, yes, his stench will rise, for he has done great things. Do not fear, O land. Be glad, rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, beasts of the field, for the desert pastures have sprouted, for the tree bears its fruit. Fig tree and vine yield their strength. So be glad, children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he gives you the early rain for prosperity. Yes, he will bring down rain for you, the early and latter rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and fresh oil. I shall restore to you the years that the locust, the swarming locust, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar have eaten. My great army that I sent among you, you will surely eat and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Never again will my people be shamed. You will know that I am within Israel. Yes, I am the Lord your God. There is no other. Never again will my people be shamed." That was Hosea 14, 1 through 9, Micah 7, 18 through 20, and Joel 2, 15 through 27. And the final portion for this week is from the apostles. It's Hebrews 12, 1 through 17. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also get rid of every weight and entangling sin. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, focusing on Yeshua, the initiator and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary in your souls and lose heart. In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of bloodshed. Have you forgotten the warning addressed to you as sons? My son, do not take lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are corrected by him, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he accepts. It is for discipline that you endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son does the father not discipline? But if you are without discipline, something all have come to share, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Besides, we are used to having human fathers as instructors, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Indeed, for a short time they disciplined us as seemed best to them. But he does so for our benefit, so that we may share in his holiness. Now all discipline seems painful at the moment, not joyful, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, Strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame will not be pulled out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue shalom with everyone, and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and see to it that no bitter root springs up and causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Also, see to it that there is no immoral or godless person, like Esau, who sold his birthright for one meal. For you know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He found no chance for repentance, though he begged for it with tears. And that was Hebrews 12, 1 through 17. And that is the end of our readings for this week. May you have a wonderful Shabbat. This is Johanna with Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shabbat Shalom.